Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Time for our fortnightly history lesson. That doesn't make it sound nearly as exciting as it is. Dr. Grant Morris joins us. Hi, Grant.
Hi, Jesse. How are you?
Good, thank you. Looking at the destruction of major settlements in New Zealand history, and I guess you're beginning with Christchurch.
Yes, I've just been in Christchurch for the weekend, and it's been a while. It's been 5 years since I've been down there, and I've managed to kind of go every few years since the earthquake. So I've seen the rebuild, I suppose, with gaps in between, and you've seen what's been done and what hasn't been done. And it kind of made me think, as I was walking around Christchurch for a few days, just, you know, what parallels do we have in our history where there has been destruction on the scale?
Yeah, destruction's a big word, huh?
Yes, and I mean, you know, we must say that Christchurch suffered a terrible tragedy, but the city was not completely destroyed. There were many parts that survived and then could be some parts which, you know, were damaged could be rebuilt. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't destroyed. It was severely damaged. But there are at least two examples that I'm going to talk about today where I think we could say that there was widespread destruction as opposed to widespread damage. And what I wanted to focus on, or at least challenge myself to find, was examples where major settlements, not necessarily in terms of size, but in terms of national importance, were basically destroyed, because we do have quite a few examples of very small settlements that were destroyed. For example, Te Wairoa in the Mount Tarawera eruption 1886 would be one example, but I wanted to focus today on what we might consider national settlements.
Okay, and first up, Wellington was not a great place to be in the middle of the 19th century.
No. And some listeners will know this, and some might not, but there were two devastating earthquakes in Wellington in the middle of the 19th century, only 7 years apart. And they had quite different impacts. So we're talking about 1848, we're talking about 1955. And the 1855. And the 1855 was the bigger earthquake. It was an absolute whopper. It was 8.2 on the Richter scale. So it was huge. But it was actually the 1848 earthquake, which was still huge, it was 7.5, that did more damage. So at this stage, 1848, Wellington being one of the first colonial settlements, New Zealand Company settlements, so you're looking at, you know, a few thousand people. In terms of population, but they had this big earthquake, and because a lot of the buildings were built of brick and stone, they were severely damaged. Homes, churches, prison, hospital. Now, it really did look like this fledgling settlement had been pretty much destroyed. And the wooden buildings fared better, but they, you know, they lost their chimneys, which were made of brick, and so there was huge damage to this early and very important settlement too, because Wellington was supposed to be one of the foundational settlements of colonial New Zealand. Amazingly, only three people died, and that, you know, that's not just because it was a small population; it was just an amazing, lucky thing that occurred.
Yeah.
So I put that as the first example, really, where a very important settlement on a national scale was pretty much destroyed. Now, when the real whopper came 7 years later in 1855, very wisely, the Wellingtonians had built back mainly in wood. And that actually withstood the second earthquake much better.
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah, so again, very low death toll and not as much structural damage in 1855, amazingly, when you consider how big it was, because this was the one, this was the earthquake which lifted up the harbour and, you know, Lambton Key used to be the beach and then it wasn't. you know, there was a tsunami over Rongotai and where the airport was. So it was an earthquake of huge proportions, but partly due to a low population, but also this building back in wood meant that I don't think you could say in 1855 that the city was destroyed. It wasn't. But 1848, is probably closer to the case study for our talk today.
Okay, that's probably the lesser known one or two earthquakes. Mm. Wellington, and they weren't named for Wellington too. I think you might have mentioned the Marlborough earthquake and the Wairarapa earthquake, but both close enough.
Yeah, they weren't actually on that central Wellington fault that runs through Thorndon. It wasn't actually on that fault line. Mm.
But then almost everyone will know about Napier in 1931.
Mm, and that's the picture that's up on the RNZ website. And I think nearly all New Zealanders will know just the huge damage that was done with this earthquake. At the time, people said, Napier's effectively been wiped off the map. And you look at those pictures and it looks like, a nuclear bomb or something like that has hit the town. And we should remember as well that it wasn't just Napier, it was Hastings as well, which suffered just huge damage. Because it wasn't only the earthquake, which was bad enough in itself, but then fire took hold in Napier. And pretty much anything that survived the earthquake was wiped out by the fire. I think that's by far the most obvious and well-known example of where a major settlement in New Zealand has effectively been destroyed by a natural disaster.
And why is it worth lining these events up and thinking about them?
Well, I think preparing this talk as a Wellingtonian, it makes you a little bit nervous when you consider what's happened in the past and what could happen in the future. But I think we've got to be aware of that. We've got to be realistic but not fatalistic, and say it's not a matter of if there will be, it's a matter of when there will be earthquakes in New Zealand. And all this work that we do to make buildings resilient and to know what to do is important. And we know from our history that it's important, and we need to be prepared.
Thank you very much. Great to have you on as always.
Oh, well, thanks, Jesse.
Dr. Grant Morris with a history lesson for us once a fortnight.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.